flavor is everywhere.
From text to mechanics.
Spicy pulls.
Salty plays.
The sweet taste of victory.
And the bitter sting of defeat.
It can lead to sour faces.
And umami friendships.
But all these flavors bring people together.
For a gathering.
A potluck of creativity, skill, and above all,
magic.
Hello and welcome to Flavor Profiles. I'm Matt.
And I'm Nat.
And it's the holiday season, time for joy and cheer. And well, for tonight, the gift that keeps re-gifting, fruitcake.
I don't think I've ever actually had a fruitcake in my entire life.
I've been gifted them before, but I've never actually eaten one. I learned a couple interesting facts in preparing for this. And one was that there's a single fruitcake that was baked in 1878, and it's still passed down in the same family. And that's kind of how I feel about them, is you might be gifted one, but you never really eat it. And you either give it to someone else or it mysteriously vanishes.
What do you even do with a fruitcake that old? Do you use it as like a doorstop? Like, put it in a shrine?
I think the family pretty much just puts it in a shelf. They wrap it every year, I was reading, in sort of a liquor or a bourbon-soaked cloth to keep it fresh. And the reason that so many fruitcakes are typically soaked in alcohol or covered in powdered sugar is it prevents them from getting moldy, so they last longer. In fact, there was a 106-year-old fruitcake discovered in, quote, almost edible condition around 2017.
Most edible.
Almost edible. I don't know how you would classify something as almost edible. I feel it either is or it isn't.
So true. And
this is why it's the first vilified confection.
Yeah. So when I think about fruitcake, I think of just like the most random assortment of stuff like thrown into a baking pan. And
there is a full art almost, it seems, in the history of it. They're full of spices. Some of them are kind of nutty. They have hints of dried or candied fruits within them. But really, it's like an edible potpourri of flavors. But it still screams.
That makes it sound so gross. Edible potpourri. Oh, no. I don't know if anyone has eaten a fruitcake. But then, like, it feels weird, though. Like, so if it's like a thing that you pass it down, like, are you supposed to eat it or are you not supposed to eat it? And you just...
Well, the heirloom ones that were found in some families, maybe those are the ones you pass down, but they're so mass produced. I mean, honestly, is this just a means of getting rid of leftover fruits, leftover nuts, and whipping it up into something festive? Which is kind of what we're doing tonight.
Yes, exactly what we're doing tonight. Like, why are y'all going on about fruitcake?
Because it's Christmas time. We had two options. It was either carols or fruitcake. We flipped a coin.
Yeah, and I think y'all would rather hear us talk about fruitcake than listen to us sing. So what are we talking about tonight that relates to fruitcake?
So we're going to talk about picks from 2023, excluding Universes Beyond. And these are cards that we each sort of found to be lasting gifts for Magic. These could be cards that resonated with us, something that sparked joy, sparked a laugh, sparked terror. But they all kind of come together in a small little batch, sort of like a fruitcake, a little hodgepodge. So we're going to go call it Wooberg plus one.
Wooberg plus one.
So do you want to start off? We could do work our way around the color pie together? You want to give us your mono white, maybe?
Let's do it. My mono white pick is from Albion. It is Mondrak, Glory Dominus. Is that your pick too?
It is Mondrak.
Yeah. It's such a good card. It just shows how good the card is.
I finally bought one this weekend at PAX. I didn't own one.
Yeah. 4/4, 2 mana, white. So 4 mana altogether. Legendary creature, a Phyrexian horror. If one or more tokens would be created under your control twice, that many of those tokens are created instead. And you can sacrifice 2 other artifacts and or creatures by paying 1 and Phyrexian to put an indestructible counter on it.
The reason I kind of lean towards this one as a pick, so in the lead up to the show, we were getting set up and I realized I forgot to pick a mono white. I had like 6 greens, 7 reds, but no white. This popped up in my search and I immediately thought Fruitcake, because it's indestructible, it's inexpensive, and it multiplies.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Right? And also that you sacrifice other artifact and or creatures to give it indestructible, it's like adding little extras inside of it.
You know, I didn't think about that when I picked this card, but that is so true. I was like, oh, this is a really good white card. And yeah, you're right. It kind of is a fruitcake. Mondrak is the fruitcake of magic, apparently. Mm-hmm.
That's what Elish Norn has brought upon the plains. A fruitcake.
Fruitcake. You thought it was a normal war, but it was a war with fruitcake.
I mean, if they are indestructible and last so long, just launch one with a catapult. You could probably take out something small.
Yeah, true.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I feel like this is just such like a lasting card too. Like white, when you think about white has a lot of tokens. Humans, cats, angels, all kinds of horses and unicorns and all kinds of things. So I feel like this card is going to be such a good staple for like white token decks.
I added one of these to Brimaz over the weekend. And there's an anointed procession in there as well. And the new mono white god from Caverns of Ixalan that creates triple tokens.
Yes.
I got a little out of hand.
I love that for you so much.
I'm the problem. Hi. It makes a lot of cats.
Yeah, I bet it does.
What do you do for mono blue?
Okay. I want to hear yours first. I went first last time. You can go
first
this time.
Okay. I originally was thinking Virtue of Knowledge, but then last second, I made a change and I went to Sleight of Hand from Wilds of Eldraine.
Okay.
And really, the thing that got me is as I started looking at all the cards and how, you know, Mondrak is a fruitcake, I found that most of my picks kind of tied to the idea of fruitcakes around the holidays and the legends and the nefariousness of them. Because the flavor text on this is, the farmer was amazed to see the penny vanish into thin air, but the goose knew he'd just slipped it to the fairy. And this is the card where it's at the market and the farmer's sitting there being charmed by a sleight of hand act. And there's just this goose looking around the corner like, I saw that. All the card does is it's a single blue mana. Look at the top 2 cards of your library. Put one of them into your hand and the other on the bottom of your library. Straightforward, easy. But we were talking earlier, fruitcakes just kind of appear around the holidays and then they just vanish.
It's true. I didn't really think about fruitcakes when I was picking my cards. But my pick for mono blue for the year, I think I picked this because I got super into Oathbreaker this year.
Mm-hmm.
My pick is Ikrimun Gauntlet, again, from All Will Be One.
Mm-hmm. There's a theme. We both picked a lot from All Will Be One, it sounds like.
Yeah. 2 and a blue artifact. Planeswalkers you control have 0, proliferate, and -12. Take an extra turn after this one. But the second part is great, even if you're not playing Planeswalkers. So whenever you cast a non-creature spell, choose a counter on target permanent, put an additional counter of that kind on that permanent.
Oh, that's fun.
Mm-hmm. So it works great with planeswalkers because obviously they have counters. They have loyalty counters. So the second ability works for those as well. But I mean, this card works even in non-planeswalker decks if you have anything to do with counters. You know, you think about Simic decks, there's a lot of plus one counters.
Proliferation.
And so, you know, this card just like, I feel like it's kind of been an underrated, slid under the radar card. Like, I think people kind of forgot about this card.
I'd forgotten about it until just now.
Yeah. So I really like this card. So that was my pick for mono blue.
How about black?
Ooh, okay. My pick for mono black is another artifact. I went artifact heavy this year, I guess. It is Vat of Rebirth.
Oh.
Which is also from the All Will Be One set.
Mm-hmm.
It is one black for this artifact. Just one mana. Whenever another artifact or creature you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, put an oil counter on it. You can pay two and a black, tap it to remove four oil counters from Vat of Rebirth, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield, activate only as a sorcery. This card is extremely good in anything that deals with graveyard recursion. Or sacrificing. Mono black does a lot of sacrificing of creatures and artifacts. And this card, if you're not playing it in those decks, you should be.
I just reread it.
Yeah. Those oil counters, like, they tack on pretty quick. So it's quite good.
That's going to get out of hand really fast with all of your mill decks, aka all of your decks.
Yeah, a lot of people already know this. I recently built a Ziatora deck. Mm-hmm. And I think I got this card out when I've only played the deck once. But I'm in love with the deck, and I got this card out, I think, and I was able to bring like two or three things back from my graveyard with this because the whole deck is around sacrificing things. So
And sacrificing treasures.
Yeah. Well, and the other really good thing about this card is it says whenever another artifact or creature is put into a graveyard from the battlefield. So it doesn't say permanent.
Mm-hmm.
So your tokens count. So if you do treasures, foods, anything like that, it's going to trigger this. So it's a good card.
That is going to get out of hand really quickly. I am here for it.
And common.
Yeah, it's how much is that going for? 28 cents?
Yeah, 28 cent card.
I've probably got like four of them in a box behind. I guess I'm going to go make some, do some
what
digging.
Was your pick for mono black?
I decided to follow Go Big or Go Home and went Phyrexian Obliterator.
Okay.
And this was one that was borderline selection until the Mondrak kind of gag, because I looked at the flavor text, which was, show me what Norn sycophants are hiding under all that pretty porcelain, quote by Shouldred. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, when you open a present, you're kind of like, you're excited and then you see what it is, like, ooh, act surprised. But the Phyrexian Obliterator, it's four black for a 5/5 Phyrexian Horror with Trample. And whenever a source deals damage to the Obliterator, that source's controller sacrifices that many permanents. I got an oil slicked one of these in my bundle. I was very happy.
Yeah, it's almost like a less harsh version of Annihilator, but like it's still harsh because like whenever it's dealt damage. So like even if like you're attacking, it still deals damage. And if you're defending, it's dealing damage. So, I mean, it's like having Annihilator.
It was a kill on sight whenever I played it. I've only played it, I think, 3 times in a deck. It did not last long enough to do anything.
Yeah.
Except show that someone had removal or counter.
Yeah. Sometimes that's all you need.
Little victories.
Little victories.
So shocker, when I went to red, also all will be one. I'm wondering if we did the same card.
We probably did.
Is it all will be one?
Yes.
It's so festive. Look at the color. It's all red and green.
And I think this is like by far the best red card to come out this year. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when this came out, people were just going crazy. I went crazy. Mm-hmm.
I have one of my Oathbreaker deck.
It's a combo card. It works with so many different cards as a combo piece. I mean, I have this in Shalai and Halar. Like, mm-hmm. You know, it's...
Oh, it's so much fun in that.
This card is just crazy.
It's 3 and 2 red. Whenever you put one or more counters on a permanent or player, all will be one deals that much damage to target opponent, creature an opponent controls, or planeswalker an opponent controls. With the flavor text of the invasion tree broke through the blind eternities and sent Phyrexian perfection coursing across the multiverse. It's just appropriate.
Yeah.
And the art is just so sinister.
Yeah.
It's got a finality to it.
It is. I like, this is one of those cards that people don't forget about. Like, mm-hmm. people know this card. It's insane. Like everything from the art to the flavor text to it's literally the title of the set.
Mm-hmm. It's grand finale.
Yeah, it's so good.
That point where we thought all hope was going to be lost in the story.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan, but I'm also always frightened because I get demolished by it constantly.
I feel like it's such a kill on sight card too now, because, you know, like I said, it is such a combo piece, but even if it's not being used as a combo piece, like it still deals quite a bit of damage.
Mm-hmm. It may not be long for the board, but it will get its hits in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Should we move on to green?
Yes. Green was the hardest one for me. I got stuck between 3 cards.
Oh.
I think it's so hard. I can't choose between these.
It's a fruitcake. Throw them all in.
Yeah. I guess I think the one I think about the most is Knight of the Sweet's Revenge. It's an enchantment, 3 and a green. When it enters the battlefield, you create a food token. Foods you control have tap to add green mana. Mm-hmm. And you can pay 5 and 2 green to sacrifice it. And creatures you control get +X/+X until end of turn, where X is the number of foods you control. I put this card into my Rocco Street Chef deck, and this card is absolutely insane. You get so much mana because mm-hmm. you have so much food, and food was so big this year, like across so many different sets, that like,
I mean, between this and Lord of the Rings,
mm-hmm, that like this card is so good if you're running foods. Like, even if you have food cards that you're not like actually going to consume, it's nice to have them out with this, because not only do they tap for mana, but you can use them for that ability that you can pay mana for to give all your creatures just an insane buff. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even if you only have like 4 or 5 foods out, that's +5/+5 for all your creatures. Like, it's good.
It's quick ramp. It's fast food.
It's quick ramp. Yeah, it's fast food.
So what was your other contender for green?
My 2 others were Bramble Familiar.
Magic Trash Panda.
Yes, the Magic Trash Panda.
That was in my kind of 3-way tie for green as well.
I love the art on the card. Mm-hmm. The little trash panda is so cute. It's super cheap. It's 1 and a green. And then it's a mana rock, tap to add green. You can discard a card to return it to your hand, so it has a way to evade things. And then the adventure side of it's really fun. Mill 7 cards and put a creature, enchantment, or land card from among the milled cards onto the battlefield, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I played this with some deck the other day. It might have been Ziatora, and I used the adventure side and got out something insanely huge, and it was silly. But even just as like a nice little mana rock, like I guess not a mana rock, it's a mana dork, little trash panda.
Yeah, don't call our trash panda a dork. You had a third one?
The third one is, I feel like this one is better across more decks, whereas the other ones are a little bit more specific. And this one is, again, from All Will Be One, and it's Conduit of Worlds.
Yeah, that one was in the contenders for me.
Yeah, this one is 2 in a green artifact. You may play lands from your graveyard, so it's essentially a Crucible of Worlds. However, it's the second ability that is really good, in my opinion. You can tap it and choose target non-land permanent card in your graveyard. If you haven't cast a spell this turn, you may cast that card. If you do, you can't cast additional spells this turn. Activate only as a sorcery. So you can basically give permanence in your graveyard flashback with that by casting their normal mana costs. Obviously, you wouldn't be able to cast anything else, but sometimes you have no more cards in your hand and you just need something to cast, so you can just start casting things from your graveyard.
Why not reduce, reuse, recycle?
Exactly, like a fruitcake.
It fits with green. I narrowed my greens down to 2.
Okay.
My final selection was just a little guy, the Poison Dart Frog.
Oh my gosh, I love the Poison Dart Frog.
Mm-hmm. 1 and a green for a 1/1 frog with reach. Tap to add a mana of any color. Pay 2 and it gains death touch until end of turn. This card put in so much work when I did pre-release. I think I pulled 3 of them and instantly, I'm building green.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic piece of ramp. It was a fantastic deterrent, especially against flyers. I mean, I didn't win anything, but it let me last a little bit longer. It's cute.
It is so cute. I feel like green got the cutest cards. And you also need to put that card into the Finn deck that I built you, because you can give it death touch.
Uh-huh. I put a copy of it on top of the box.
Good. That is the perfect card to throw into a Finn deck.
It really is. And it's a perfect fruitcake deck because it's colorful, but it might upset your stomach.
Yeah, true. And might poison you a little bit.
Just a little bit. You'll be fine in 48 hours with some meds and a trip to the ER.
And
the
hydration.
It'll always hydrate. Well, my second one also follows similarly in suit, and I went with Tough Cookie.
Oh, yeah.
Another 1 and a green for a 2/2 food golem that when it ETBs, you get a food token. So going back to your pick, and there's some extra ramp. Pay 2 and a green and target non-creature artifact you control becomes a 4/4 artifact creature until end of turn. You can also pay 2 and tap the Tough Cookie to sacrifice and gain 3 life, which is a little morbid.
I mean, it works with Knight of the Sweet's Revenge too, because mm-hmm. it is a food, so you can tap it as well.
Yeah,
which is really cool. I've seen so many people playing this card too. You know, I haven't really put Tough Cookie into any of my decks, but I've seen a lot of people play that card.
It's extremely versatile with everything you can use it. Life gain, set yourself up if you have Sweet's Revenge to get some extra mana, and also turn your foods into weapons.
Who doesn't love a food fight?
Right? And look at the art. It's just this kind of badass militant little gingerbread cookie.
I love that pick. I think that green had a lot of really good cards this year.
And just across the sets, and many of the green options I was kind of narrowing it down to covered most of them. From March of the Machines to All Be One to Aftermath. I had a thought from Aftermath, Eldraine, Ixalan. Yeah, I definitely had something from every set in my final options. It was Year of Green.
Yeah, I guess so.
Before we get to our final kind of straight up colorless artifact pick, Did you have any sort of standout backup options you didn't go with, but you still kind of want to throw in the mix?
We didn't include Universes Beyond. My black pick, if we had included it, would have been Mirkwood Bat.
Mirkwood Bat's solid.
Such a good card. Works so well with any sort of tokens, artifact tokens, creature tokens, enchantment tokens, whatever other tokens you have. That card for sure was at the top of my list. As far as white cards go, I also thought about Stroke of Midnight. Mm-hmm. It's the new Generous Gift.
know we love Generous Gift.
Yeah, it's actually a little bit better than Generous Gift because you give them a 1/1 instead of a 3/3. So that card definitely made it apparent that power creep is actively happening. That also was a thought for white as well. I didn't love a lot of the blue cards that came out this year. I
didn't have many jump out at me.
Is hard because blue's obviously, if you listen to our interviews, one of our favorite colors. So
Virtua Knowledge made it for me as a possibility. One of the enchantments from Wilds, 4 and a blue. It's an adventure where the adventure side is an instant copy target activated or triggered ability you control. You may choose new targets. And then for the enchantment piece, if a permanent entering the battlefield causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, then it triggers an additional time.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much that can come from that. But even now, I can't think of a ton of blue cards that really jumped out at me within the parameters for choosing this. I mean, my other one on the list I was considering was just Archive Dragon because it fit perfectly in my Miriam deck. It's just 4 and 2 blue for a 4/6 dragon wizard with flying and ward 2. And when it ETBs, you scry 2. I mean, it's not anything extremely wild. It's just a fun and flavorful card. If I went UB, though... Renegade Silent from Doctor Who.
Okay. So
3 and a blue for a 3/3 alien horror. At the beginning of your end step, goad up to one target creature you don't control and put a 1/1 counter on Renegade Silent. Then Renegade Silent phases out.
Oh, so it does it each time. Okay.
Uh-huh. I forgot who I was playing with. Maybe it was Benji the Brewer. And that card came out and it just started to destroy the field.
Yeah.
Because all the big creatures were being goaded. And then in the meantime, it was just getting bigger in the background.
Yeah. That's a cool card.
Mm-hmm. I've been a big fan. I think I'm a big fan of just on Universes Beyond this year. I've really enjoyed the Doctor Who decks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think one of the other ones I was considering was for red, and it was Imidane.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost built this deck, and then I feel like it got so overhyped that I lost interest and didn't build the deck. I ended up building Zeotora instead, which kind of has a similar vibe to it. I feel like it's still a good card, and it would still be a good deck option. But at this point, I don't think it's one I'm going to build. So that was one of my other options for red.
I think I had a couple for red. I think red was the after green, the one I had the most trouble picking.
Mm-hmm.
And two kind of standouts in that were one of them, and this is going to get a couple weird looks or listens, Rowl's Reinforcements from March of the Machine. So it's 1 and a red for a sorcery, and it just create 2 1/1 blue and red elemental creature tokens.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the elemental creature token from that set that made me go, I like this card. And it's the one where it's kind of the, I don't know if it's a goat or a ram or a heart in a library.
Okay.
And it's just a gorgeous piece of art. And I thought, okay, that's just kind of fun. I love this token. What makes it? That's my pick. But then on more of a serious pick note, I thought Charming Scoundrel from Wilds of Eldraine. So 1 and a red for a 1/1 human rogue with haste. And when it ETBs, you choose one, either discard and draw, create a treasure, or create a wicked roll.
I severely underestimated Roll's tokens in Eldraine. We talked about this when we talked about enchantments.
After we stopped recording, I went and ordered a copy of that deck, the pre-con with the Rolls, because I think that's something that I want to see how far we can explore that.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they'll do anything more with Rolls in the future, or if they were kind of like, oh, this is going to be like a one and done thing.
I hope they find a way to use them. It's one of those things I always hope that abilities and mechanics from sets don't just stay in one set only. Mm-hmm. And we don't get enough support to it later on to really explore it. So I think the Rolls deck was Selesnya, I want to say. And I know we had Rolls in red, black.
We had in all the colors,
I think. Did we have them in all?
Yeah.
Was blue maybe a wizard roll?
Yeah, it was like, I'm having a hard time remembering all of them.
But at the same time, this just goes to it. It's like, it's a good thing, but we don't see it a lot. So it's not fresh in our mind.
Well, and my biggest qualm with it was when you drafted Eldraine, like live in person drafting, the roll tokens were hard because unless you were lucky enough to get the correct tokens in the packs that you opened, you had to do a lot of like borrowing and trading with the people you were playing with in order to have the correct rolls on the table. And it was a little hard to keep track of.
For those listening, if you're not familiar, the rolls are, there's royal, monster, young hero, wicked, virtuous, sorcerer, and cursed.
Mm.
And they're going to be fun in a lot of enchantress decks because you're just hopping out enchantments that you can hopefully manipulate.
Yeah.
Why don't we go into our final picks then? The plus one of Uber, the artifacts.
Ah, yes. The colorless. There were a lot of good colorless cards this year. I feel like colorless shone this year. I mean, there was a whole deck. There was an Eldrazi deck that came out in Commander Masters. So this pick was hard, but at the same time, not hard. I picked the new card that everyone and their best friend is talking about right now. And that is Roaming Throne. It's just... the card is so good. An Eddy deck with a commander that has a triggered ability. It is... I played in the charity stream for the Moffitt Cancer for Sheldon Menery's memorial stream. And I played in... a game with Matt Morgan from EDH Rec and Carson and Corey, that TCG guy. And Matt was playing this deck where you steal things.
I remember watching this game.
And I was playing my Rocco deck, which deals with a lot of exiling things. So Matt managed to steal my Itali. And
that's when it went downhill.
Then he was able to steal a Roaming Throne from Carson. And at first he didn't pick Dinosaur, which we were kind of like, okay, strange. He picked the creature type of his commander. Mm-hmm. But then from the future Itali triggers, because he ended up getting the other Itali from me, which meant that there were more triggers. Carson ended up giving him like Metamorph cards. So cards that you can change into things that are already on the board.
Oh, no.
So I think Matt ended up with 3 Roaming Thrones on his board. And so the second two, he picked Dinosaur. So then there were just like a ridiculous amount of Itali triggers. That card is just... it's crazy. Yeah. And the alt art of that card is really, really cool, too. It's just like, so in case y'all for some reason don't know Roaming Throne, it's 4 mana, ward 2. So it's hard to get rid of. When it enters the battlefield, you choose a creature type. It's the chosen type in addition to its other types. If a triggered ability of another creature you control triggers, it triggers again. So in any commander deck you play, like and you pick your commander, you can have your commander do double triggers. And even if like your commander's not that type, but you have a lot of that type in your deck, like this card is still quite good, obviously. Like Rocko's not a dinosaur, but if I had picked dinosaur, like it would have, Atali would have just gone crazy.
In the best possible way. That's entertainment.
Yeah.
That's what the audience shows up for.
Exactly. So, you know, like my first thought when I saw this card was Umbris. We talk about Umbris a lot on this podcast because it's kind of like my signature deck, I would say.
I don't know how I feel about Umbris with a roaming throne.
Yeah, well, because Umbris is all horrors and nightmares. Mm-hmm. Like the deck is almost completely horrors and nightmares. And so it would not only trigger Umbris, but it would trigger those other creatures too if they have abilities. So it's just like, it's the card's just so good. It's so good. And it's going up in price. So
get them while you can.
Yeah. I hope you grab some copies while they were on the cheaper side.
I was lucky enough to end up with two, the alt art and then a foil regular.
Nice.
And the alt art is waiting for a spot in Brimaz, perhaps. It's about time to give the cat a few new toys. I went looking through my set. I think my picks kind of follow my deck building format of trying to tell a story. So mm-hmm. I went with the Filigree Silex because it's a great card, but also you need something to carry your fruitcake.
Oh no, you froze. We're struggling tonight with technology. Oh,
back. There all we right.
go. Take two.
Part of me is thinking we'll just edit this all out and post, but much like the fire alarm, let's leave all the silliness in there with technical issues.
Yes.
So where was I? I think I was at, it's another from All Will Be One.
You said it's a bowl for the fruitcake. That's the last thing.
Heard. So the Filigree Silex, the bowl for the fruitcake. This is a legendary artifact from, surprise, surprise, All Will Be One. For two colorless, you can tap it to put an oil counter on it. You can tap it to sacrifice the Silex, destroy each non-land permanent with mana value equal to the number of oil counters on it, or you may remove 10 oil counters from among permanents you control, and the Filigree Silex deals 10 damage to any target, which makes me go back to the VAT from earlier.
Yeah.
And it's pretty.
I love this card. When I drafted this set, I built oil counters because I had this card, and dealing 10 damage in a game where you only have 20 life is quite good. And I actually really want to build an Oathbreaker deck that deals with oil counters and has this card in there. Because again, 10 damage when you only have 20 life is quite good.
You know, that would be a fun mechanic for Oathbreaker, I feel.
Mm-hmm. I love, this is getting so off topic, but I love building Oathbreaker decks that deal with like mechanics that are on the smaller mm-hmm. side where they don't have a whole lot of support yet. So like I built an Amass deck because Lord of the Rings had a bunch of Amass cards, and there was War of the Spark, which had Amass cards, and there's even a Planeswalker who amasses. It's Angrath. You know, I really wanted to build a commander deck with oil counters, but it just didn't feel like there is enough support for that yet. So I feel like Oathbreaker is like the perfect place to put that, because obviously you have less cards. Maybe I can find something with like proliferating, so that way I can, you know, have more oil counters. And I'm probably going to be building that on stream soon. So
I'm kind of there for that. I want to see that built. I just pulled out my Luka Bound to Ruin Oathbreaker deck, which comes off as just standard Gruul Stomp, but I really lean into the Phyrexian invasion with it. And so like little bits of Toxic, and then just some fun stuff that plays off of Phyrexian and beast creature types. And I don't think I was going to be able to pull any, well, I mean, first off, I can't use Luka in the command zone in a standard commander deck, but I was able to really kind of have fun with a lot of the mechanics that came out this year with that. Mm-hmm. And I need to build more Oathbreaker decks.
Yeah. But I love that pick. I think that is a fantastic colorless card. card.
So for all our listeners out there and viewers, if you were to build a fruitcake from 2023 Magic cards, what would you throw in it? Would it be spicy, nutty, fruity, flavorful, or just plain long lasting? Or if we're thinking about gifts you keep regifting, maybe it's a card or a deck that you're going to exchange with a friend, something that will sit on a shelf and be remembered for hundreds of years. And with that, we'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time. Stay tuned. This month, we will have a special episode, a holiday end of the year episode. Tonight, we talked about cards, but we're going to be talking about the whole entire year as a year, including some of the sets and cards that we did not talk about tonight. That will probably come out on a special day. So stay tuned for that.
And also, PAX Unplugged was this past weekend. And while we both couldn't be there, I was able to get a few special guests to take part in our questionnaire segment. So keep an eye out for those coming pretty soon. They're a little longer than we would normally have them in an episode, but they are definitely lively, definitely flavorful, and definitely full of friends. And with that, I think we'll be seeing everyone next time for another episode. Been great having you in our kitchen.
Let us know if you have a favorite flavor on socials.
We can be found on Twitter, YouTube, and everywhere your favorite podcasts are served up.
Just search for Flavor Profiles.
Our music is by Cormac Bluestone.
Thank you for listening.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Nat.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Keep cooking magic.